The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're in.
Cool.
You know what I got to think about the other day? How terrifying it would be to read a sign that says, "Do not touch," in Braille.
Oh, gosh. It's over.
By then, where do you go?
Do you think, like, do not touch?
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
I should have, we had an intern. It's been well over a year ago. And one day we were at a red light in Starville, and they have the beeping crosswalk for people.
Yeah.
And he was, "What's that beeping?" I said, "That's for blind people to let them know that they can cross." And he thought, like, because I screw with him all the time, he's like, "You're messing with me." I'm not messing with you on this one.
You need a safe word. You need it's kind of like a safe word.
Pineapple. I'm being serious.
Yeah, I always say when we go camping, you know, the whole time we're camping, we're goofing off and being funny about stuff and pulling pranks on each other and joking. But if it ever hits the fan and you hear the word pumpernickel, it just got real.
Yeah.
0 to 100. You need to pay attention to what I'm about to say.
This is real. It's like with the snake. Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel.
It's time.
I need the gun.
Give me the gun. But yeah, so it just so happened, like 3 weeks after that conversation and him calling BS, we're at the four-way of Highway 12 in Louisville, right in the middle of Starville. And, you know, there's a blind guy with a stick, and he's waiting. I said, look. It started, beep, beep. And he started crossing. Mm. And he was like, "You wasn't lying." It's like, I mean, what do you think I just sit at home and think about? Like, okay, tonight I'm going to think of a reason why those crosswalks beep.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that.
You know, our personalities too, the way we take things on, how we can be goofy a lot.
Yeah.
That could be a negative in a certain situation. Because then you definitely need to let everyone you know what the safe word is. Because I've had multiple people tell me, you know, "Well, I can't tell you when you're joking or when you're being serious."
Yeah, a lot of people tell me that too, you know.
And that could be a negative.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you might be, like, the most serious thing you ever said, and, like, people who are just don't know how to take you, they're like, "Oh, he's just, he's taking a piss," you know? Oh. Be like, "Hey, I gotta go to the doctor tomorrow. I think I'm dying. It is. Will you take me? It's like, man, piss off. Wakes up tomorrow, news, so-and-so died. Golly, he was being serious.
No, they didn't say that. They just got to sit there with their mouth open, looking at the screen. It's like, oh my goodness. Did he say pumpernickel yesterday?
It was the only time he was serious, I swear. All right, safe word here is welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. This is the Unbridled and Untamed. I got Mr. Andrew Watkins here with me. And
delighted to be here.
Hey, it's we'll be transparent. This is a redo. We recorded last Sunday, and for those of you unaware, we drop episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, and I typically record on the weekends. But it's a Friday night now, and Andrew contacted me halfway through the week and said, I think we could do better. And so here we are to do better.
Yes.
Because that last episode that we did,
yeah,
dude, that was fire.
Yeah. The last one we uploaded, yes.
Yeah.
The last one we recorded.
Right. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know. That's the same thing. Like whenever, same with Big John or Cobb or Monk, is Monk never feels good about an episode. He'll text me like on my way home. He's like, I don't know about that one.
He's humble. Humble. It's a sign of humbleness.
Yeah,
I think.
But I mean, we all do it. Like Cobb will text. He's like, I don't know about that one. I was like, you should probably hear it. But, like, I felt the same way that you did. Not that it fell flat.
It was all right. It just didn't have the high points like the one we did last done.
Right on, man.
Didn't have the high
points. So there's a lot going on in the world right now. And I don't want to spend a whole awful lot of time here, but I do want to bring it up just for people who may be unaware. Have you been paying any attention to Cuba?
Where was I? Oh, at Jessica's grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
She's all the time watching Fox News.
Oh, she's a Fox lady?
I don't watch anything at all.
Well, how do you get your news, or do you?
I don't. Yeah. I usually don't know.
You know, in some places...
You're going to see everybody panicking because a comet's coming, and I'm going to be headed to work.
Yeah.
Mad.
I used to be that way.
Like, what's all these stupid people doing on the road? I gotta get to work.
I don't watch like Fox, CNN, or MSNBC, or you know those guys. But I follow journalists from the left and the right that I like, that I believe do true journalism and true reporting. And I get on Twitter and I just let them tell me what's going on, and then I fact check it against other sources just to be sure. But it's getting to a point where I trust them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about, like,
Is Ben Shapiro considered a journalist? He's a journalist?
He'd be more of an
analyst type?
He's an analyst. That way, he's a political analyst.
I listen to him every once in a while, like clips.
Yeah. But you like him?
My attention span is about 30 seconds, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I do listen to clips. He brings up valid points. I watched a clip of him talking to somebody about something, probably a feminist or something, or a liberal or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they made some stupid argument, and he made this statement, facts don't care about feelings.
Yeah, and that was a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it might have been a long time ago.
Well, I mean, just...
when it happened or something.
And think about that in the context of, like, the world that we live in now. It truly is a clown world. Like, we're to the point to where we're saying 2 + 2 might be 5.
Yeah.
Do that with somebody's bank account.
Yeah.
Or do that, like, at the cash register. Oh, it's a 2 for $4. That'll be $5.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Math's important.
Well, ain't everything made of math? Everything's made of numbers?
I don't know. Like, apart from, you know, and this depends on where you stand, but, like, one of the most reliable things in my life is math.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's either right or wrong. Yeah. There's no in between. And that was, like, and now it's getting to a point to where Children are no longer going to be required to show their work for how they got their answer. You remember, like, if we done that when we were in school, you get points taken off, or they'd mark the whole thing wrong. Yeah. I have to know how you got it. Why? Because I don't know if you were looking at your neighbor's paper.
Yeah.
You didn't write down stuff. What I did, you remember Mr. Wilson? And I'm over it now, like, it's okay, but I failed physics. It's the only class I ever failed, and I took it in summer school, and he happened to be the guy that was watching over summer school, and he's like, you made an A. And I was like, yeah, I failed on purpose. Why? Because I didn't like you. Mm. And plus, you kicked me out of the lab on day two. Like, Jessica, ask Jessica about some of those stories sometimes. Like, that dude was like, on his very first day, me, Kyle Troll, and Hunter Williams, we got into, we started wrestling over a quarter right before the bell rang. And then he walks in and, like, we done flipped the desk over and we're just being guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately sends us to the office and he wants us to be suspended.
Yep.
Because he knew, he understood exactly what we were doing. Pushing, testing.
Yeah.
Wanted to see what we could get away with. It was like, you've already had Andrew and Ben and Jess. I was like, wait till you meet the folks of our grade, you know?
Yeah.
Because wasn't that a crazy couple of years for people? Think about 2003 South Lamar to 2009 and how ridiculous we were.
Yeah.
And then when 2010 came, it was like, calm.
Yeah. That's how it was.
Cause that was a 6-year span of like just a bunch of reckless dudes.
Yeah.
And even our girls were crazy, man. Oh, our girls didn't take no crap.
Didn't take nothing. I remember Mr. Thompson paddled me one time before Mr. Wilson was there.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember it was something like what you was describing. He's probably goofing off in class or something.
What'd you in the class where we said, I ain't going to say his name, but we set that kid on fire in Thompson's class, and Miss Stringer was subbing that day.
I remember that event.
It was with Axe body spray and a cigarette lighter. Like, they doused his coat, jacket, whatever, in Axe. Because he was, you know, he was taking a nap on the desk.
Yeah.
And he was just spraying him. And then out of nowhere, here comes someone with a lighter and just ignites his ass.
Lit him up like a roast
dude, chicken. Like, and I didn't think, like, of course, like, what's coming out of that can would combust.
Yeah.
But, like, even what was on his jacket, like, fresh, it combusted, too. Like, he was literally on fire.
Yeah, he was burning.
Yeah. And, like, he was already, he was kind of an odd guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was nerdy. He was in the computers. Matter of fact, for the rest of that year, with that class, Mr. Thompson set him in the lab and gave him work. He didn't have to sit with us because we gave him such a hard time.
Yeah.
And I hated that for that kid. I didn't have any part of it.
Yeah, but still. But,
yeah, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
But I do, what are your thoughts on bullying?
Since the older I've got, the bigger my heart has gotten, I think.
I think it's important.
I think that having a child, especially a girl, can definitely broaden the heart of a man. No matter how tough he is.
That's daddy's girl.
Yeah, if they're a good halfway good dad, that's how it's gonna be. But I hate it. I really do.
You do.
I do.
Is it ever right?
No, bullying's never right. True bullying is never right. The problem I have is with. I hear a lot of cases, you know, in schools or whatnot from the parent side of it. But then I also hear the teacher side of it and what really happened.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, your wife's a teacher.
What's on camera, you know, what's been shown. And there's bullying's never right. I do not condone it. I hate it personally because no one should be treated badly. No one should.
I agree with that.
No one deserves it.
No, I think there is, like...
No child deserves it.
There are different things that gets called bullying that is not.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a lot of things that, like you said, are not really bullying.
Like, making fun of me for having my teeth knocked out in a car wreck, that is bullying.
Yeah.
I can't, that's a non-controllable variable.
Yeah.
Now, if you made fun of me for being overweight,
yeah,
that to me is okay. Because that is a social pressure to be more healthy. And I'm not condoning, like, we should walk around and tell people that they're fat.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember...
Just kind of make it obvious.
Yeah, just, I remember, look, the culture that we grew up in, it's changed so much you can't even do this, but if there was something about you that was sociably unacceptable...
It was going
to
be
exposed. It didn't have to be enforced by law. It was enforced by your peers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that those things are important. Like, even now in, like, the workplace, it's like... man, there's one guy that he gets a hard time because he likes to party.
Yeah.
And people give him crap. And that is just like, that's a sense of professionalism. And mm-hmm. like, dude, you're kind of getting old to do that.
Yeah.
If there is a cutoff for partying. Mm-hmm. But I believe there's a time to be serious and there's a time to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you get too old for either.
No.
But it's crazy. Like, if we were on a baseball team, and everyone on the team was riding me. Maybe they saw something in me, and they were trying to pull it out.
Yeah.
Or take it to modern day where, you know, we work. And maybe someone in the company is really giving you a hard time. But they're just trying to push you to get you to the best. Maybe they see that you could be a supervisor.
Yeah.
You know, and they push you. And they kind of bully you into that, but all they're trying to do is bring out that diamond in you.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
That's one thing I was going to say is that the effects of bullying can be positive in certain situations.
Yeah.
Because
it can bring about change.
You mentioned your teeth get knocked out and get made fun of that. Well, from what I remember, and I don't specifically remember ever, like, I laughed at the jokes people made. So I guess I could be guilty by association.
Sure.
Whatever, but you embraced it. You didn't for a little bit, of course, because it was awkward at the beginning, but eventually you embraced it, and people loved you for who you was then when you were missing teeth.
Yeah, like when I got teeth, I didn't wear them.
It helped you learn how to go through a hard situation.
That's right.
That you could not control and could do nothing about,
mm-hmm.
and the outcome of that was good. So the effects of bullying can be beneficial in some ways in certain situations.
I mean, how do you get a diamond?
You got pressure.
You got to put it under pressure. You
gotta pressurize that thing.
That's right.
You put it under hydraulic.
You know,
pump,
that was
man.
One thing that I was thinking about because I've been doing like these studies. Man, I've really been into the Bible lately.
Yeah.
And so I've just been going through Genesis slow, and I don't know if I'll ever get through Genesis, but like just taking these little snapshot stories, like Cain and Abel. It's literally a couple of sentences, but it says so much.
It does.
There's so much there. And then I was just like reflecting on my own life. And I mean, you just said it. Like, I was reflecting that in my journal the other night with a couple of verses just to kind of make it personal for the lesson. I'm so glad that I had to go. I'm glad I got my teeth knocked out. I'm glad that I didn't have teeth throughout high school because... I learned at an early age who I was. And if you didn't like me, if you was just going to make fun of me and put me down, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I've got my friends. My friends took up for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask them to.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know. And, man, like you said, it got to a point to where instead of just letting it bother me, I embraced it. And
use it to your advantage.
Use it to my advantage. Yeah. If they made a joke, I'd make another joke.
You know, I think we should all be happy of where we're at all times.
It's hard to
good,
do, though.
Good or, I know it is, but good or bad, I think we all should be happy of where we're at. Because you can either look back and see where you've come from, or you can see where you're at and where you need to go. But either way, we need to be happy with where we're at.
Cause I agree with
everything
that
happened before then, or before now, was meant to happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe in happenstance or circumstance.
This is the way it was supposed to. This is the way it was supposed to be. This is what you were supposed to go through to be where you're at today. And even if you're in a bad spot right now,
Think about where you could be in 6 months.
Think about what you can do from here out. And not focus on what was meant to be already, but focus on what is to come.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Stay motivated.
That's the thing about it, dude. Like, I've been finding, like, these different podcasts. I just want to know what, like, people are listening to. And so I started looking at, like, algorithms and, like, age groups and just to see what demographics are listening to. I mean,
this is interesting. I want to know this.
I've got my demographics. Yeah. And, dude, Porch Talk does not reach the generation below us. Like, from 18...
They don't care about nothing. They don't care about nothing.
They do, but not this.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, from 18 to 25 males, there's a show called Fresh and Fit. And there's also a show called Fit and Fresh. Don't get the two confused. But Fresh and Fit is like, it's a dating podcast, kind of. And it's a couple of guys, and they'll bring in, like, feminists, and they'll bring in, like, maybe a porn star. They'll bring in these different girls, different archetypes, and, like, they'll interview them. And these guys, like, their game is, like, Fresh and Fit. They want to teach you how to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in these feminists and, like, these different viewpoints from what they call the opposition. And, like, to use those interviews to show you just how easy it is. And, dude, they're killing it. Like, their YouTube, they ain't been on YouTube long. They're growing so fast. Their podcast is booming right now.
Yeah.
And they recently got invited on, like, some of the biggest podcasts out there, like Timcast IRL.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're getting great guests like Hotep Jesus. If you're unfamiliar with him, check him out. I'm Hotep Nation, baby. It ain't cause Hotep didn't tell you. They do a great job of presenting information early. But that's another big thing. Like, these 18 to 25-year-old males, man, they're really focusing. I couldn't imagine being that age right now. Like, I'm kind of glad I'm 30.
Mm-hmm. You said the age 30. You know, I saw something, read something the other day. Don't know if it's true or not, but it was interesting that, you know, how when a lot of people, when they get to 30, they talk about stuff starting to hurt and all the blinker lights are flashing.
Yeah, you need more blinker fluid.
Service engine soon.
Yeah.
Lights and all that. Before medicine really took off,
yeah,
I think it was in like the mid to late 1800s when medicine really happened. The mortality, average mortality age of a male was 30 in the mid 30s. So it makes sense that when we get 30, everybody's like, all right, it's about time to go.
About that time.
About that time.
You know, that's one thing, like, I've been, like, really trying to, because, man, I hurt. You and I both have had back problems. You know, I've had to have ACL surgery.
You need to start doing yoga with me.
That's what I was about to say, is, like, dude, in the mornings, if I'm not running late, I have a 15-minute routine that I run through, like, stretches and yoga for breathing, just for my joints, ligaments, and all that, just to stretch everything out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to make that joke from Zombieland. Just let me stretch first.
Yeah.
You ever seen a cheetah or a lion stretch before they take down a zebra? It's like, stretching's dumb, right? But I was like, there's more to, like, yoga. And, you know, a lot of people get freaked out, especially, like, in the Christian communities. Like, oh, yoga, meditation, that's Buddhism. You can use meditation in any kind of way that you want. I believe it's important to clear your mind.
The Bible says to meditate on the word.
That's my thing,
form of meditation.
That's right. Is, you know what the hardest thing to do in this world is? Especially now with, like, the rise of the internet and social media, and, like, you literally have information at the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be quiet in your own mind.
Definitely.
And you ever think about, like, thoughts?
Where they come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe in, like, original thought, that you can have an original idea? I don't.
I don't know how.
Because, like, it works. Man, just think about, like, let's just say we went silent for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look at your phone. Let's just say we just looked at a wall or closed her eyes. You would have so many different ideas just go through your mind. Mm-hmm. Where do they come from?
No clue. Somebody's putting them there. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's like if a supercomputer could learn and like write its own subprogram, like a subconscious.
Yeah.
And it could, after it learns so much that it is able to go off that subconscious on what direction it needs to go. Meaning, in comparing that to humans, I would say the environment that you surround yourself with is what you will end up being.
Oh, that's definitely true.
You learn in what environment you're around, and while you're learning, you're programming your brain to be of that. That's the reason I think the Bible talks about be ye not of this world, because there's two different mindsets, I think, that you can have, and that's good and bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that Christianity and Christians could do a whole lot better job of is, I mean, yeah, I believe it's true, and I'm in this camp. You know, in the end, we win, right? Mm. Even if I die before I see it. Abraham didn't see the promised land. Mm-mm. Moses didn't either. You know?
Neither one.
Right? And whatever, like, you know, like, I got some great, like, just with journaling and everything I've been reading lately in Scripture and just through prayers, like, God's really moving in my life, and I haven't figured out, like, what he's doing yet. And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep pouring in, and I believe he'll reveal what needs to happen in his time. I believe that. And so, but just in that time is just to be, like you just said, meditating on the world, on the Word, and just staying in the Word.
And listening, too.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, right?
You know what I like doing? Building a fire. Just building a fire and just sitting out and just looking at it. And being quiet and not trying my best not to think. Usually for about, when I first build the fire, I have the little sticks, right? Well, they'll burn up pretty quick. But they got a good flame going, so I put the bigger sticks on top. And then once they'll get on fire pretty good, I make sure they're stable. I'll sit down. Well, by then, it's been probably 10, 15 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's enough time for my brain to be like, all right, we're going to reboot for a second.
Beep-boo.
And it just shuts down. And I'm not necessarily listening for anything.
Yeah.
I'm just being quiet. Being still.
Well, there's something about that. But, like, my point is, like, I believe that Christians put too much effort. Not effort. That's not the right word. I want to speak this clear. Is there's too much talk and walk spent on eternity rather than being present. Mm. Like, it's good to be excited about heaven and being with the Savior. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. Mm-hmm. I'm excited myself. But until then, like, I need to be focused on right now.
Yeah.
And I've been having conversations with several different pastors in the area. A great concern I've had for the community, and I've been reaching out to them and discussing ideas that I believe that the church has failed in the community. And we're in rural Alabama. It's real easy to see the needs of people. I believe it's even easier in the cities, but you know those food banks?
Yeah.
Did you know that statistically, that does more harm to the community than good?
I didn't know that. How?
We'll pull those stats up. But how is they become reliant.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and then when they go and there's nothing there.
They ain't got nothing.
They're mad.
Oh, yeah.
And who are they mad at?
The church or the food bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
I think it's a great thing. Like, and then another thing is like community garden. Like, both of those ideas I thought were great ideas. It's something I've been involved in. It's something that I've done. But they do more harm to the community than good.
So how would you, what would be an alternative?
Well, I think it goes back to the phrase, and this is where people miss on the community garden, and where I think it could be a hit, is this CEO saying, what about teaching a man to fish?
Yeah.
Would you give him a fish or teach him? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to teach.
Yeah.
A lot of people would like to be the savior.
A lot of people don't know how.
And they need to learn.
Yeah.
So with the community garden, maybe the best thing to do, I believe it's a great thing to do. I like having fresh produce. Is instead of you being the green thumb, make it a community garden. Y'all do this together and invite people who don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you begin to pass on information.
You know what would be cool?
What's that?
If you started a community garden the first year, you know, and you got people to come and help, that first year you would plant the garden and, you know, you wouldn't necessarily give it to people. You could just, like, you know, have a community supper once a month where everybody gets together and you cook what you've grown.
Yeah.
But then if you're a second year person and you come back a second year, you have to plant the garden on your land somewhere. But the people who started the community garden, some of them will go and help.
I've never had a community garden in a rural area. Like, yeah. I'm talking about, like, these are literally, like, at apartments and, like, gardens out of buckets, like, growing tomato plants out of buckets. Like, we're talking about a larger scale. We're talking about, this is, like, hippie stuff is what you're talking about. And it's something I'm definitely behind. Like, if you looked at it, like, political scale, it would be left libertarian. But when you try to make left libertarian ideas bigger than a small community, they don't work. Mm. And but that is a even some Christian practices are left libertarian. With that, with what the Bible even teaches with some of these. But once again, I believe that we're missing and we're not hitting the community. Mm.
You know, you made the comment about how they're focused on eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our whole lives we're focused on the next big event, and we're always looking for the next thing, but we're always looking ahead. I think that's why they might be like that, because when you're about to turn 16, what are you looking forward to?
Turning 18.
And then when after
that? Well, it used to be. Now not. It's 21, now I guess. It's 21,
but for us.
Yeah.
It was 16, then 18.
And then when he turned 21, it was
21,
25.
And then, yeah, then
my insurance goes down, though.
Yeah. Well, then you start working by then. So then you're looking at
retirement.
The next vacation. Or yeah. Then retirement or whatever, you know. But I believe I'm not going to retire.
I don't think retirement's a thing for me either. And I believe that was a miss, and that was a myth that was taught to us and sold to us. I wasn't going to go to college. I had no intentions. Like, I didn't even want to graduate high school. Like, my senior year, I didn't try if it wasn't for, like...
Wasn't you going to go to a gaming college or something? Or?
Oh, that quickly fell apart.
But that was your original...
Yeah, me and Eric Adams, man. We were totally going to do it. Yeah. Yeah, we was going... It was down there for art. Like, to learn... graphic design, animation, stuff like that, and be able to, like, actually do that stuff. Yeah, and I would have totally been into that, but then I looked at what it cost, and then, like, it was in Atlanta. And I wasn't opposed to moving to Atlanta. It was just, I knew at that time in my life I wouldn't take it seriously because I hated school.
Yeah.
And so, like, man, when I graduated high school, I finished ninth somehow, which, I mean, out of 27, but,
yeah,
or whatever the number, but. I had packed my little duffel bag and, I was just going to go. I didn't tell my grandparents, didn't tell nobody. I was just going to get in my truck and go to Mobile. And, my grandmother, caught me out in the drive. What are you doing? I'm leaving. Where are you going? Mobile. What's in Mobile? I don't know. Where are you going to live? I don't know. What you gonna do for work? I don't know. Why don't you come back inside?
Okay.
Yeah. And she talked me into, and at that time we were good friends, and I didn't even tell you. I didn't tell nobody. I was just going to go to Mobile. Andrew and Sid, they're both going to Shelton State. Why don't you go with your friends? That's the reason I went to Shelton State.
Is it?
I mean, because I never took an ACT or SAT.
Yeah.
I had no intention. I didn't want college. It wasn't interesting. I was going to go either right into the workforce or I was going to just randomly move to Mobile and just be homeless, yeah. I guess. You know? And later, life would lead me to Mobile for a time, which was kind of crazy. I kind of called that being 18 years old, but neither here nor there.
That was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Meant to be. That's a pretty cool idea, though, with the garden thing. It could really help people.
Well, I think times are definitely going to get a whole lot harder with inflation and everything that's going on. Like Taiwan, China has come in with their warships on Taiwan property as far as like ocean, however you want to put that. Japan has already sworn allegiance to Taiwan. Australia has sworn allegiance to Taiwan. And America is supposed to, but America hasn't. And that bothers me. It's the same thing that happened with Hong Kong. It's the same thing that's going on with Cuba right now. And, man, it really frightens me because, like, if I could be anywhere right now, I'd be in a foreign country. You know? I want to get back involved with missions, and I want to be just checking things out for myself because so many people talk about things that they don't know about.
Yeah. Or they talk about them like it's fact.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you never even left the country. You've barely been out of the state of Mississippi. What do you know? You don't know anything. I went to college. Great.
Good job.
Yeah. And you work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
How's that working?
Get me a venti latte.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Venti.
And my name is Ishmael.
What's your name, George?
I tell you, well, is it Arby's or no? Hardee's, maybe. I can't remember where it was. It was in Amory. It was a Hardee's, it had to be. It was in Amory. We went up there and I ordered. And Jessica had already sat down with Carly. Carly was just a baby. I think we was going to the flea market. The furniture flea market, cheap love.
Prerequisite to this, Andrew's always been a fool.
Yeah, well, I get up there and I order. And she asked for my name, and I tell her, and I go sit down, and I'm sitting there with Jessica, and I'm already about to die laughing. And I see him putting the food on her tray, and then she just picks up the ticket, looks at it, she kind of squints. She looks over at her coworker, she shows it to her.
What is it?
You can see her talking, and then she says, Hassan Pfeffer!
Dude.
She said it like three or four times. I'm just sitting there laughing. And Jessica's like, what kind of name is that?
Our name.
I was laughing. She's like, oh my goodness. Is that my name? I was like, yeah, go get it. She got up, went, got it.
We were, me and my coworker were out to eat. I think we were at Arby's in Columbus. And they was asking for names. And I went first. And I was like, what's your name? I said, Bob. I tell you about this.
Yeah, I think so.
And I get out of the way. My coworker gets up to place his order. Places it. What's the name? Pootie Tank. And that, I thought she was going to lose her mind. And right when he said that, I looked over at them and I said, sign my pity on the runny side. And like we erupted and like everybody's kind of looking around. I was like,
bleed. Pretty too good. Pretty too good.
Pretty too good.
Pretty
too good.
What all restaurants do that? I'm going to have to write that down. So the next time we're in a town.
It's got
to
be perfect, dude.
Because I'm going to go up and they're going to be like, name them like, Jab.
Leviathan.
Pinky Toe.
Jeremiah. Horn Frog.
Chest Pubes.
That Dank.
Shathe.
Oh man, Shathe. Spell that.
You gotta spell it in threes. That's one of the words. You gotta spell it in threes. S H I
T H
T H
E A D
E A D.
Shathid. You are the third grade spelling bee champion.
Ooh.
Man, what are we gonna do? Hey, man, video games here.
Real quick. That's exactly what just popped in my head, man. Great minds. Definitely think alike. Or morons. I won't start saying that. Morons definitely think alike.
Fools.
Fools.
Man, Elden Ring. You were showing me that before we got started. Yeah, and it like, looks sick. I gotta say, you were absolutely right because you sent me that. Let's talk about this one first. It's like, so they have a new Lord of the Rings game coming out from the perspective of Gollum. And my immediate comment was, why the hell would I want to be Gollum?
Yeah.
Smeagol, whatever.
Smeagol.
It's like, okay, I want to walk around and just be a thief and like just manipulate. I was like, yeah. Okay, you sneak around.
Yeah.
How would it, and then you come, I was like, what about the powers? What kind of powers?
I put the ring on and I go invisible. Yeah. You never know. I mainly sent it to you because you all the time run your mouth about Lord of the Rings, how much you love it.
Oh, I do love it.
Well, that's just another perspective. And so that's why I thought you would like it.
Yeah, and I crapped all over
it. And you didn't. So you know what? I went and found a better one.
Yeah, you did. You knocked it out of the park with this one. So, like, I'm a huge Dark Souls fan. And this is From Software, the guys who make Dark Souls, Bloodborne. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that.
Stupid hard games.
Yeah, and so it's called Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. And I set the release next
January
year.
January 22nd, 23rd, 2022.
So for all you gamers out there, if you have any excitement about video games and hard games, there's a game called Elden Ring coming.
Yeah, it looks sick. It looks really, really cool. It's like a...
The mechanics look just like something that comes from From Software. Yeah, the
fight definitely looks... You can definitely tell where it's coming from. But it also is a... It's an open world-based game, too, which I think is pretty cool, being Dark Souls. If it's anything like... The open world games that I've played, you know, I just finished a really long one that Ghost of
Tsushima. Yeah. Talk about that one a little bit, dude. I wanted to review that one.
Playing that game, like I watched TED TV on YouTube or TED ED or something like that. I don't know. It's like educational videos, but they're like.
It's the same folks that do TED Talks?
Yeah, same people. I've watched probably, I don't know. 4 or 5 hours of that really happened. What that game did, it wasn't the same people and they didn't use the same names. And that's that particular story that we did probably didn't happen. But the Mongols did invade Japan, they did, and the island of Tsushima was the first one of the first that they hit. So that part is true. Mm-hmm. And it encased me.
Quick break.
The sun bursts the boats days we were dreaming, they were black days in the red room of your anger. The roses retreating and blooming again. But the song was my heart slowly breaking.
You know the difference between a ninja and a samurai?
I know what a samurai is. Ninjas can be a form of martial art, ninjutsu. And it's more hand-to-hand type deal. They have a lot of little secret weapons. But samurai have a lot, too, that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of people think, what do you think about a samurai? Samurai sword.
I think honor.
But I'm talking about, it's weapon-wise.
Oh, yeah, the sword.
Sword. But there were samurai. Yeah, I was gonna say there's samurai that was nothing but archers. You know, there was samurai archers, and then but they got all kind of like kunai.
Spearman.
Kunai is like a long pointy throw a knife with a little piece of cloth on the ring at the end.
That's right.
I think that's how you pronounce it. But what was
so your... yeah? So the difference between a samurai and a ninja. And I believe it is the way that people approach people today. There is honor and there is dishonor. Hmm. A samurai will always fight you honorably. And you always know how he fights.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do everything honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about like in professional sports specifically. Let's take fighting with, well, you won't do wrestling. But boxing, MMA, UFC, bare knuckle, is it honorable or dishonorable, in your opinion?
It's honorable into a sense because they have a referee who controls it.
And both parties know the rules.
Yeah.
And they know what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, it's dishonorable as...
There will be cheap shots.
You don't know what's coming. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, there's honor in that. But, I mean, you can study the game film, right? So the thing about a ninja that differs from a samurai is ninjas are dishonorable.
Yeah, they call it, that's what the ghost is, and Tsushima, he ends up, they call him the ghost because he's dishonorable. Poisoned, he uses poison.
That's right. Think about like
assassinates,
smoke screens of like, man, there's these
sticky
old
tales. Bombs.
Yeah, I mean, anything like coming to you at, you know, 3:30 in the morning just to assassinate you and just in the night. Mm-hmm. A samurai would never do that.
No.
A samurai is going to meet you face to face on the battlefield.
They'll ring the doorbell.
Yeah. Be like, come on. Come out.
Come outside.
So, like, even think about, like,
with you.
Yes, we must do.
We must do this battle.
You are dishonoring me. Both was a part of, I want to say, Japanese culture, if I'm not mistaken. Samurais and ninjas. Is that correct?
Ninjutsu might be more Chinese mainland.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, that's the whole point is, like, ninjas were used, like, for assassinations and, like, for very dishonorable things. And if a samurai and a ninja fought, I think a ninja would win.
Probably.
9 out of 10 times.
Depending on the setting, but...
Because, like you said, poison. Or maybe even, like, they would have something to, like, mess with your... Maybe it would be just throwing sand in your eye.
The ninja would...
Like, there's no... you know, what is it? There's no rules in love or war?
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
I don't... Who's they?
I don't know who they are, but they say it. So, like, I mean, if I throw sand in your eyes and I can get myself an advantage, I'm going to.
Let me tell you what the ninja's going to do to this samurai.
And that's why I think, like, professional fighting is honorable in that regard, because there are a set amount of rules, and that's why bar fights usually dishonorable. Because I can come across you with a beer bottle,
guess what's
or
happening?
Pool stick.
Guess what's happening?
That's what's going to happen.
Not getting your teeth knocked out.
Yeah. Again.
Let me tell you what this ninja's going to do to this samurai. He going to plan it. Plan to fight him tomorrow.
Mm.
But when that samurai go to sleep, that ninja going to go in that window. He gonna slit that throat.
That's the thing about it, right? Did you ever like, this is back in the day. Do you remember Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
You ever mess with it?
I think I have it at the
It's hard game.
Yeah, I think I have it at the PlayStation.
PlayStation 2, Xbox, 360.
I think I got it for PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Incredibly tough game.
Yeah,
but that was a perfect example of, like, ninja. It's like, it's all about deceit.
Yeah.
That's what ninja is. Like, samurai is all about being honorable. And it's all about, like, remember, if you don't perform well in battle, you have to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't honor yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dishonor. You have to end it. The Last Samurai, Tom Cruise, one of the most accurate and as far as portraying culture ever seen. Beautiful story.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Have you seen 43 Ronin?
With Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one. Is it good?
I really like that one. That one is, it's not like The Last Samurai. I mean, it's not, but it's still a good movie. It's still a cool story.
Yeah, and 43 Ronin is an actual thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little bit worried about the way they portrayed it. You know, Hollywood... I mean, they do Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, for some of those stories, and, like, we can go into this with my beef with... and I thought Peter Jackson done a wonderful job with Lord of the Rings. He destroyed The Hobbit, though. It was awful. But Harry Potter wasn't... The films are enjoyable. But if you read the books before you saw the films, you're kind of let down.
Yeah, you're done. That's what killed me. That's the reason I only read 3 books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd rather see the movie.
By the time that I got to the 3rd book, the first movie come out, and I was young, and it was not like the book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is stupid.
I mean, it was out the gate. It wasn't even like, you know, in the first Harry Potter movie, which is fine, and everything that they'd done. I mean, it made a lot of money, and it was successful, and, I mean, it was enjoyable.
I'll never forget that night, because my mom and dad took me to the theater that's on... It's shut down now, over there on Old 82.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right by Subway.
I remember it.
Yeah. That's where they took me. Because I remember walking in, and some guy, a kid my age, was walking out. He says, "Are you going to see Harry Potter?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, it's awesome.
It's so good.
It's so amazing. You know, I feel like the only information, now that I sit here and think, I feel like the only information I've got as far as what a ninja is from video games and movies. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never really
thought
looked
about
up, looked up like actual what it meant facts, to be. Actual facts of a ninja. Like, cause you think about how many ninja stuff we've seen in our lifetime.
Oh, dude, and me and you three both ninjas. Are just obsessed with it.
Three ninjas. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, Power Rangers, which was, they was doing like the same moves and stuff. I mean, we've had that our whole lives.
Yeah, that's right.
Beetlebots. You remember that show?
I do remember.
Beetlebots.
Well, that's a throwback.
Yeah, for real, man. That I still got one of the little.
You might be from the 90s.
Yeah, for real. Ooh, another show I used to watch, Gundam Wing.
Oh, yeah.
I used to collect them toys.
I had them, too.
Me and Morgan Pugh. Morgan Pugh had every freaking one of them. I was so jealous.
Oh, man. Remember, like, Pokemon cards and stuff?
We saw some the other day. We went to Amber. I've never seen that many Pokemon cards in one spot. Jeez. At one Walmart.
Yeah.
Because, like, I walked up in the toy section, and I saw the 10s, and I was like, oh, look, they got 10s. And I looked beside it, and I was like, oh, they got boosters.
Then you look down.
And I looked down, and I was like, oh, my. They got
a whole set.
They got elite booster boxes down here. I was like, I've never. And then we get up front. Did you see the ones up front?
Was it by the cash
register? There was 200 booster packs up front by the cash register. At least 200.
Do you think, like, maybe it was just where we were at and people just aren't into it there? Or they just...
That might be it. I know now that we're out of quarantine and stuff, that Pokemon stuff has kind of went down. Everybody was watching it and everybody was into it there for a while because we didn't have nothing else to do. And now that's kind of... Everybody's going back to work.
And life is returning.
Life is returning back to normal. Schools back in.
I mean, even with the podcast, man, I had more downloads, you know, back during the pandemic.
Yeah, well, people didn't have nothing to do
now, right? And yeah, totally.
Ain't it crazy how a pandemic happens in the 20s of every century?
Something about it. They say that, and I agree with this, that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Mm. I bought that fourth turning book.
Did you?
I got it today. I was so excited.
Oh, man, dude.
Yeah. It's more than I thought it would be. I didn't think it was going to be. It's a book.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when I shared it on my social media, I was like, this is very dense.
Yeah.
And it will take you a lot of time to read. Because there will be times where you might have read four pages and you'll need to put it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a very dense work.
I figure it's going to be something like I'm going to have to work and study on it as I'm reading, highlight stuff.
Yeah, possibly. I've been thinking about, like, I want to get a hard copy.
Because when I opened it up and saw it had, like, charts and graphs and stuff, I was like, wow, this is like a math
textbook. Yeah, and they cite and they tell you everything that they use. I'm telling you, it's a really good work. And, like, I believe that as a nation... Maybe because it is U.S. centric that we are
when
in the fourth turning.
Did they write that book?
We would need to Google that.
It was a long time ago, right?
Fourth turning?
Yeah. In the '80s, didn't you?
No.
I thought I remembered that way, but I guess not.
Let's see. Just give me a second here.
Got you a new light.
I replaced it because of your comment last time.
It didn't look the same.
That's LED, baby.
It's bright. I like it. It's like tanning bed in here.
I bought that from Lowe's, and I guess they wanted me to hardwire it in. I haven't hid this yet. I had to literally, like, cut a computer cable just to be able to plug it into the socket.
Really?
Yeah, I see it now. I'm not going to hardwire that thing into the...
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do that. No. It was 1996.
Okay, but still, that's what, 20 years ago?
And the book's just getting, like, very, it's just like 1984 Orwell. Everyone's reading those books right now. Yeah. Because Orwell, I mean, and everyone is into V for Vendetta, you know?
Mm.
Because, like, there's a virus, and then the government will call lockdown, and, like, you know, V for Vendetta, what it's all about with the hackers and everything. It's crazy, like, think about 1984, Orwell. Like, there's a lot of good points that are coming true in that book. I'm not saying that it is. The Fourth Turning makes a lot of valid points. What do you think? Let's go off the deep end. Sorry, John. But so there's a statistic. 37% of Democrats on the West Coast want to secede from the Union. 45% of independents in the Midwest want to secede from the Union. And I think it was 75% of Republicans want in the South want to secede from the Union. Now, granted, this poll, this is what's crazy about a poll. They charted, polled 2,750 people.
Mm-hmm.
And with, there's 366, you have to account for the illegal immigrants, so maybe 370 million people in America.
Yeah, that's about
And
right.
They polled 2,750.
Yeah.
That they say that that's to get a good number. Have you ever been polled for anything?
Never.
I've never been polled for anything in my life.
Well, I don't. If it comes to the mail, then I just throw it away. If it doesn't look important,
I think they polled through a phone call, which we probably wouldn't answer anyway, because we don't answer calls that we don't know.
Exactly. Well, I do, but they don't talk long.
Yeah.
Unless it's recording.
But anyway, it was like, and then they began to talk about like how they could like split the U.S. off. And now we're just having fun. For anyone freaking out and be like, oh my God, they're talking about civil war. No, let's just have a little fun. So, like, what if the U.S. broke off into, how many pieces would it need to break into? I think 5.
Yeah.
West Coast, Texas by itself, the Gulf Coast, maybe reaching up to Tennessee and maybe the Carolinas, maybe Kentucky. Arkansas. You have the Northeast, then you have the Midwest. That's my breakdown.
Yeah. That'd be good. That would work. That's about how it was.
But you know what's crazy? If Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida seceded from the Union, you know what, maybe even Georgia, you know what would immediately happen? We'd be invaded, and they would destroy our most beautiful cities.
Probably.
Because of our ports. If Oregon seceded, you could totally get away with it.
Yeah.
As far as like, yeah, Oregon, if you can sustain yourself, go try and do it. But like, you want to take out the Gulf in a port? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, you know, Mobile was a pretty, I wouldn't say popular, but a necessity during the World Wars. I mean, the ports, them in and out there. I mean,
that's right.
There was a lot of warships, a lot of stuff left out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It was vital that it stayed, you know, secure.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only did they come
there's
in and
a
out,
lot of there's
they had
a,
people protecting that.
I think about Pascagoula with Ingalls. I think about Mobile with Ossol, who they build warships.
Yeah,
they build our Navy ships. I think about Louisiana. I think about New Orleans. It's a prominent port. Florida is a key, I guess it's just being by water. I don't know, but like, and I feel like Texas could definitely be its own thing. I mean, they have their own farming, they have their own technology, they have the, like, Texas could be their own.
Yeah.
You know, we're just having fun. I don't mean any of this, but I can't really think of another state that could maybe make it on their own. Because at one time I would say California, but
not anymore.
I don't think California could do it anymore.
A lot of them people that was in California and Texas now.
They are.
What's that mean?
Think about Elon. He went to Texas.
Well, what's that mean? They destroy one, they go to another. Destroy it, go to another. Eventually they're going to make it to us.
Well, no. Well, maybe. But like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Probably. God. You know, they put up a billboard in West Texas, like on the border. It's like for people that were moving to Texas from California.
Yeah. What does it say?
It said, leave the way you voted in California or something like that.
Yeah. Protecting their own.
What do you think? I'm for voter rights and all this. I don't think it's suppressive at all to make people have an idea to vote. Yeah, I think you need to prove who you are.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Yes.
When I go to buy alcohol or if I buy a firearm or...
It's fair. It's honorable.
Yeah, it's honorable. But, like, we're talking about the difference between a ninja and a samurai.
Yeah.
And, like, Kamala Harris's... did you see that she talked about us?
By who?
Us.
Porch Talk?
People, Porch Talk specifically. shout out, Kamala. Woo! Favorite VP. She was talking about, like, how suppressive these Republican voting laws are trying to pass in, like, Texas and these different states are. And they was like, they don't understand these rural people. They don't have internet. They have to go to a bigger city and use a Kinko's. Kinko's was been out of business for 15 years. They were bought by FedEx. Yeah. It's like, how out of touch of reality are you? And by the way, I'm rural. Like, yeah. Don't talk to me like I'm a second-class citizen of your country.
Like you're deplorable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was like, dude, like...
She's probably never even been down here.
No.
She's probably never even been.
Right.
She don't know. It's one of them people you was talking about earlier that they talk about something like everything they say is facts.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you don't know.
You don't know. How do you know?
And by the way, like, I really don't care if you ever come. I don't want you to come.
That was an invitation.
Yeah.
Stay up there.
When I was staying down in Foley, stayed down there with Sid for the 4th.
4th of July.
And one of the people in the group, they had come to Kennedy for a spell with Sid. And they said, no offense, but I would never live in Kennedy.
Mm.
And I said, good.
Yeah. We don't want you.
We don't want you.
Yeah.
It ain't for everybody.
It's not. It's not. But why? It's like when you get accustomed to it, though, it's just like, that's what it is. What you are. I love being able to go outside.
Yeah.
In the morning, in my boxers, taking a nice old long piss, and not having to worry about somebody seeing me.
You know, I like walking
unless up. It's Bigfoot. He might be watching me.
Oh, I don't Lord. Know. Oh, Bigfoot.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Check us out. Hey, little mama.
I'm a bit of an odd guy. I like to walk out on the back porch in the morning, take the morning piss, and just go, woo!
That's the best thing to do.
You can't do that anywhere else.
No, you can't.
My neighbor's accustomed to
sometimes
it.
Sometimes
I like to
go. Dude's an idiot. I like to go outside sometimes myself, and some mornings I'll take a piss and I'll just shoot off a couple clips of my AR. Wake the birds up. Ammo's expensive.
We right have now. Been going, yeah. We have been going to war with the mockingbirds lately. Did you see the shotgun set up by the door?
Yeah.
So, like, we find, you know how long you've been messing with us for over 12 years now. You've been over here on the Aldridge compound.
Yeah.
Is how long have we wanted purple martins?
For a long time, as long as I can remember. They're hard to get.
We finally got them.
Really?
So, like, when we put the gourds up in the backyard, and, like, I told them when they were, I didn't help them do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a waste of time. I was like, it will never work. If it didn't work at the pond, because martins like visibility. They like a big open field.
Yeah.
They like being around water.
Yeah.
And I was like, on top of that, the reason that you want martins is not even accurate. They don't eat mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So, didn't help. They got it hung up. What happened? Blue Jays moved in.
Yeah.
Blue Jays used the gourds.
They had... Blue Jays are rare now.
I've got a shitload of them.
Well, I don't ever see them.
We don't shoot them. But those... I hate mockingbirds.
Yeah. That and starlings. That's the two worst enemy of a martin.
What are your thoughts of like a whooper wheel? Those red-eyed devils. Those
that's got like the beak starts between their eyes on top of their head.
Yeah, you see them on dirt roads.
It's a demon bird. That's a demon bird.
Whippoorwill, whippoorwill.
That's the soul of a dead witch in the form of a bird.
But anyway, we finally got Martins, and so like you sit out on the back porch, and like me and Dad are both into bird watching. Like I like to get home from work and sit on the porch and like,
yeah, just watch.
Just watch, cause like. The birds fight.
Yeah.
Like, we had cardinals, we had bluebirds.
Especially that mockingjay. Mockingjay will go after a crow. They'll go after a crow, a buzzard.
We have mockingjays.
They'll go after a cat.
They will. We have hawk. Well, the hawk's gone. The hawk ain't been here for a while. But I always like watching him because, like,
I saw Martins.
You ever seen a hawk go after a mockingbird?
Uh-uh.
It's hilarious. It's only hilarious because I hate mockingbirds.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. They'll go after a hawk, too, if there's more
than one. Yeah, like, what happened was these mockingbirds, there was three of them. And this is why, like, bird watching is it's cool to me. It's like, they were heckling this hawk. Like, the hawk was sitting up in the highest point in this dead tree. He was just looking up everything. You know, in the back 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw these mockingbirds land on a tree not too far away, and they were all just looking at him and just doing what a mockingbird does. And then he's bowed up and he darted at them.
Yeah.
And they just scatter.
Mm.
And he picks one and he just darts. And he's got his talons out. Yeah. And he's like going in for the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And he catches it.
Oh, snap.
And I was like, man, National Geographic right here.
You know what's crazy? You called me, 2 hours ago? Hour and a half ago, and you asked me what I was doing.
Yeah.
Right before you called me, I was watching a video on birds. And here's a bird fact for you.
Mm.
Falcons.
Falcon.
You know, they're different than hawks and eagles.
Falcon punch.
That's what I'm going to talk about. Do you know that's a real thing?
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heart attack. It's crazy because they even mentioned that. The guy even says in the video, falcon punch is a real thing. But what... Falcons have small, weak claws.
Is that right?
Hawks and eagles have big strong. Talons. That's what they grab with.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons will dive at their prey, and they will literally punch it in the back and break its spine.
Are you kidding me?
I watched one do it to a duck. He almost cut that duck in half. Some of the falcons can reach like 200 miles an hour diving. They turn themselves into a freaking missile. They're flying at the ground like a nuclear bomb, and they just whop right in the back. The duck's dead.
I like doing that. Like, there's a guy in Memphis. I want to have him on the podcast. He supposedly started the birds aren't real movement, the conspiracy theory with like the birds and pigeons.
I've heard of that, but I've never investigated it.
Just like surveillance for the government, but. I'm telling you, it's like, my fascination with birds, the older I get, the more fascinated I become by them animals.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Cool. I wonder, is this because I'm so damn jealous that they can fly and I can't?
Might be, because flying would be pretty cool. Flying would be awesome.
Where would you go?
Anywhere I wanted.
Exactly.
Anywhere.
Exactly.
I wanted. Yep.
Without a problem.
I'd like to fly through a cloud. You know when a rain cloud's full and it's right before it drops the rain, the average size of them, the average weight of them is 1,000,000 pounds.
Are you kidding me?
No. It makes sense. Think about how hard it rained today. In my house, it come a flood. That's a lot of weight.
It's so crazy, like, working in Starville.
Yeah.
And then, like, if the storm hits right, like the storm, I literally take the storm home with me, so to speak,
because everything here
goes west.
I do too. Yeah,
it's like, so you know what I'm talking
about.
You're
either in front of it or behind it.
Yeah, and hopefully one of those,
in the middle of it.
And that's always a comment that I had this guy from. We were hanging out in Foley. Shout out to him. They do the SIDS on this podcast. It's the let me do a proper shout out.
I hear the crickets outside.
I hear them crickets.
They just a chirping.
You know a good set of movies that I wish I owned? And it's a M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Are you a fan of his work? He's hit or miss for me.
I love Unbreakable, Split, and Glass. That is an incredible set of movies. Especially Split. John McAvoy or whatever his name is. That guy, if he didn't win Best Actor for that.
Should have won Oscar.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, he did. He's got like 23 different personalities, and he just switches just like that. In front of, and like the pressure that I would be on me to have to do that would be
insurmountable.
Unbearable.
All right, so the podcast that Sid is on, and this cat's from Boston, and he's military. Somehow ended up in Foley. Him and Sid are boys, and their podcast is called KO. Well, Cornerman. K, spelled with K. Cornerman.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of great work. I highly recommend that podcast if you're into MMA. They just had the voice of the MMA on their podcast, and it was so dope hearing my boy Sid talk to a voice that I've known for a long time and ask great questions. So shout out to the Cornerman. But Jeremy, you know, we were just getting to know each other. They're neighbors. That's Sid's neighbor. And so he walked over, and we're all hanging out on the back porch. And this is a great conversation. He's like, where are you from, man? Where are you staying? I said, North Alabama. Around where I was like, where Sid's from? Kennedy, Tuscaloosa. Oh, and even when I had the Stiff Tones stay with me, they acknowledged this. And like, I didn't know that people were so aware of our area. Maybe it's James Spann that done it. I don't know.
It might be.
But like the first thing out of his mouth was, y'all get really bad storms there. I was like, He's like, what's that like? And I was like, I don't know. You live down here on the coast now. It's like at least you have a week to prepare for that hurricane that's going to come knock the hell out of you.
Yeah.
I was like, think about me. It's like a storm brews up in Kansas, and by the time it gets to Louisiana, it looks like it's going to be a tornado that's just going to tear Mississippi and Alabama apart.
Yeah.
And you literally, it could just
pop up. Right on top of your house.
Yeah.
You could be taking
what do you do? You just live, man.
Yeah, you could be taking a dump and the walls start moving.
Yeah, you could be asleep and not know.
Yeah, not know.
What a better way to go, I guess.
You'll know. It'll wake you up. That would suck.
We'll be.
You ain't going to sleep through it. If you do, you took lots of melatonin.
lots. Deep sleep. But yeah, it's crazy. It's like, man, people are like finally recognizing, like, oh, y'all get tore up by tornadoes.
Right.
It's like, yeah, Oklahoma ain't the only tornado alley.
No, not for real. I saw some guy had predicted that there's going to be a hurricane hit the Carolina coast later this year. He said it's going to be like Category 6 biggest hurricane ever.
Did they make those?
No. No, that's what he said, though. It's going to be a Category 6. All right, guy.
We'll see.
I screen recorded it so I could remember the date.
I want you to teach me how to do that.
Okay.
Anything else to do? No. I'm
satisfied.
I'm satisfied. Andrew, it was so good to have you on again. Thank you. Everybody that's listening, man, rate and review the show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so that we can get up to 100. And we are slowly working on like video equipment. We're upgrading all our equipment little by little. And it's all because of what you do. You can go to storefrontier.com/porchtalk.com. You can support the pressing of the record by getting any of the gear. We have V-necks, T-shirts, tank tops, hoodies, even koozies. You can order it there. And thank y'all so much for supporting the show.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day. Bye.
Dashboard lights that started burning my tired eyes. I brought all my favorite records. I've heard them all 100 times. Up ahead there's a truck stop. It feels like some cosmic apology. You wake up and ask why we're stopping. I said just go on back to sleep. I just need to get out. For a little while. People always talking with no regard for what they say, as if some uncomfortable silence steal their voice away. My mind walks out on conversation. People ask, where do you go? I never know what to tell them. The truth is, even I don't know. I just need to get out. I need to get out. Finale with explosions and gale force winds. Life's just burning my tired eyes. I guess everybody gets their way. I'm sure I could use a little sleep. I still don't want to stay that way. I just need to get out.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.